I've known for quite a while that I was going to be here this morning. And ever since Wayne talked to my secretary, God gave me right away, as soon as I heard that I was going to be here, God gave me right away what I was going to talk about. And I've spent time arguing with him about, do I want to do this? You know as well as I do how that works. God doesn't take no for an answer when it's his plan. And he'll haunt you and bother you until you give in. I titled this sermon, God Is. God Is. Numerous times in my life I've had reminders put in front of me because I needed them. I know that God did it on my behalf because I needed to be reminded of some things like who he is, how he is, and how much he loves me. And I needed to be reminded of those things because that's how all of us are. We're all made that way. Have any of you ever forgotten something? Has anybody here ever not forgotten something? I forget more than I can recall. That's awful, and it's funny at the same time. But if you look into the Word of God, God commanded Israel to remember him, delivering them from slavery to Egypt by celebrating the Passover feast every year. They had to remember that. That was amazing. But they had to have the Passover, and each element of the Passover feast was part of that story of God's deliverance of the nation of Israel. An amazing story. They made a movie about it, in case you didn't see it. And we, in the church age, are commanded to remember Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying for our sins as the sacrificial Lamb of God. We're required to remember that through Holy Communion. The little bit of bread. We remember his body being broken for us. The cup of the fruit of the vine, remembering his blood being shed for forgiveness for our sins. Let's face it, people just forget some really important stuff sometimes. I've forgotten some really important stuff in my life. I haven't talked about this much. I don't think I've talked about it with anybody at all. But I'm going to talk about it to show you where we are as people. I loved my dad more than I can express in words. I loved him. He was not a perfect person by any means. I'm not going to try to paint that. But I'm him with the different colored hair, only it all turned white for both of us. But he died when he was 54, and he's been gone for over 25 years. And at about 8 to 10 years after he passed away, I got super depressed. And the reason I got depressed was I figured out that I couldn't remember his face. I mean, I loved him. And I couldn't remember his face. I shouldn't have had that problem. I should have been able to remember him. He was my dad. My mind, as hard as I tried, couldn't bring back his likeness into here. And that's how we are. Thank goodness I had pictures of him and I could pull one out. And I was reminded and refreshed. Yes. But you know what? I haven't looked at his pictures for a long time. Can't remember his face. And that's how we are as people. we don't remember things, even when they're really deeply important to us. Thank God I can be refreshed by a little reminder, a picture of my dad. Sometimes I can just look in the mirror at this old man and say, well, there's part of him there, part of him there. I had a reminder just last week at church about God. I was listening to this very gifted minister, and he was talking about the 23rd Psalm. How many of you remember the 23rd Psalm? It's one that you hear at funerals all the time. How inappropriate. I'd like to read that for you. I want to share this with you. Psalm 23. It's a beautiful song that David wrote to God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Sorry, I got myself wound up. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why is it the only time that we hear those words is when we're standing at a funeral? That's sad, because this speaks of God carrying us through day-to-day life. He leads me beside still waters. You ever think about that? How wonderful. God gives, David said in that song, peace and security all the days of our lives and beyond. Peace and security. And this preacher stood up there and he offended me. You know why? Because he pointed out that I didn't have that peace. And he said, I'm going to question you. If you don't have peace and security and abundance, how close are you to God? He busts me every time he gets in the pulpit. I love him. But sometimes I don't even like him. I learn. But that was a wake-up call for me, a reminder for me, something I had forgotten. You get so busy in life, you forget that you can have peace. You get so busy doing something, you forget that you can have security. That stuff doesn't matter. How many of you ever forget things? You ever need to be reminded? I'm here to give you a big reminder this morning. I'm here to jumpstart you. Golly, I hope you're not going to be angry with me. Because God has called me to do this, and he didn't take no for an answer, and I'm supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to preach this message. And it's not comfortable. And maybe this is the first time you've ever seen me get a little bit nervous up front, but I'm a little bit nervous. These aren't my words, these are his. For you. I came to the New Hope Community Church. You had a 10-year celebration of this church being born on May 1st. And I had a great time. I sat over there, kind of out of the way. And I listened to Dan Gross. I love Dan Gross. I've walked to Emmaus weekends with him. And I listened to him talking about what was going through his mind back in the early days of this church. And I thought, golly, that's amazing. We both had the same question pop into our minds. I had that same question pop into my mind that he talked about in my first church ministry. That question is, if God called thousands to the church on the day of Pentecost, why can't he do that now? He asked that question, and it hit me so hard. And God clicked that in my head. Click. And he locked it, and he threw away the key because I couldn't get rid of it. It's a great question, and I know the answer. I know the answer by heart. God can. God can do everything that he's done. He can do it again. He can do more, far more than you can ever imagine. God can. Don't you doubt him. He's scary big. We can't fathom that. He's scary big. It's a simple answer to a complex question, and maybe I need to go in depth a little bit about this, and at the same time give you a reminder of who God is and how he is and quite possibly what he has in his mind for you. First of all, God is unchanging. He existed before anything that we see was ever created. God is the ultimate pre-existing condition. You can argue that with an insurance company if you want to. I was talking to a friend last week about a problem that he was having in his household with legalism. His daughter has a problem with most modern churches over the name of God and the name of Jesus. And she claims that, you know, all this stuff is improper and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, that's just a bunch of legalism. Because the heart of everything is lost in it. She's forgotten that God is and always was and always will be. And she's stumbling over stuff that really doesn't matter. We do that sometimes. We stumble over stuff that doesn't really matter. Who cares? God has many names. He told Moses in Genesis 3 that he was going to send him to Pharaoh to set the Israelites free from Egypt. And Moses said to God in verses 13 and 14, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. In other words, God is. God is. That's probably the main reason why we need for God to give us a little faith. We have to have faith to be able to accept God in this little unconditional way that we have to. How can you think of eternity when you're not there? It's a tough leap. You have to have faith to approach God. You have to have faith to see that God is. If you can accept the words of Genesis 1:1, then you have faith in God. And it simply says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God's big. Have you looked up at the night sky lately and seen planets around the moon and think, wonder how far away they really are? Golly. Neat. It's neat to look at. All of us periodically need to be reminded that God is eternal and all-powerful. He spoke this whole universe into existence. He forms us in our mother's womb and then listens to our prayers as a father hears the wants and needs of his children. And he loves us like his children. And he wants for us to seek him and find him. He wants us to trust him for salvation and serve him in our lives and spread the word about him to as many as we can while we're living in this flesh. That is his will for us, for you, not just me, all of us, his church, the body of Christ. He has that in mind. And so if all of that is truth, and it is, why isn't this particular part of the church growing faster? Why is God taking so long here when he's really moving on in other places? And you can see that there's a difference, and you wonder why. And I'm here to deliver that answer, the why. And like I said, I was worried about this message hurting people's feelings and maybe making some people angry, and that's not why I'm here today at all. I love you guys with more than I can even express. I love you. This church is like home to me. I come in here and I just smile. It's an amazing place. What I am here to do is to help you find something. Because God really is able to grow His kingdom in a big way right here. And maybe you just needed reminded. Maybe you just needed jump-started. Maybe you got a flame and you just need a little gasoline thrown on it, you know. I hope I don't get burned doing that. God really is able to grow His kingdom in a big way, and He's waiting on New Hope to prepare for Him to do that. That's what He's doing. He's waiting on you. Because there are some steps you need to take. And as an outsider, I can see them looking in. And as much as this is part of my family, I love you enough, I'm going to tell you the truth. Here we go. I'm relatively sure that this church began with a lot of earnest prayer. And that's one of the main cornerstones. It's putting God in there and saying, God, we want to do Your will. We want You to lead. We just want to work inside of that. Right? And that's where you need to start, where you need to live, and where you need to finish is praying, being in contact with God. But you know, prayer also requires something from us too. You don't just pray for rain and then walk off. You better pick your umbrella up if you believe, right? That's a stupid thing to say, but it's the way it is. If you pray for God to move in a mighty way, He needs for you to be doing some things. And so when you pray, that comes with a responsibility. You've got to get busy. Let me put some legs on this. What would happen here if next Sunday morning God brought 800 people to that door? What would happen? Well, you're not ready yet. He could do that. He could bring 800 people to that door, but you're not ready for them, and He knows that. But you could be, and He knows that. And He's calling you. That doesn't happen because He knows that you haven't planned for it. God can't call those people to be here yet because there's not room yet. But I have faith there will be because that's how He does things. Let me ask you a question about this building. It's a neat building. I love it. It's got a soda fountain. I've told you that before. I know you probably take that for granted. I don't. I've never seen one of those in a church sanctuary. I love it. And you could move that if you need to, but keep it in the sanctuary, will you? Unique. It's good. But how long are things going to stay where they are? How long can you be okay with things just being church? How long will you be satisfied with where you sit? How long will you be satisfied with where you serve? How long will you be satisfied with the kingdom of God sitting still when He's waiting for you to open the gates and let her rip? He's waiting. And you're the right people. You are the right people to welcome people into His kingdom right here. You're them. You're His called children. And He's waiting. We do get comfortable with where we are and what we have, and it's tough on us to push that envelope. And it can be intimidating too, because the question always comes up, what if I'm wrong? You know where that question comes from? Satan asks you, what if you're wrong? Let me ask you something. How can you go wrong when you call on God in prayer for His power and you work on the Great Commission and you prepare for Him to do His will? How can you go wrong? He is that big. He is that powerful. He is God. God is. And when you open the way for Him to do His thing, How can you be wrong? We're not bold enough. We don't believe enough. We're not opening the doors for Him enough. In this day and age, we're being conservative. We are labeled, aren't we? We need to be a little bit crazy. Just a little bit crazy. How many of you are a little bit crazy? I'm a little bit crazy. You just ask people that know me. Do yourself a favor and study church growth just a little bit when you get a chance. Because you are and have been at capacity here for some time now. And when you put about 70 to 80% of seats full in a church group, it's not comfortable for somebody to come in there with, like, say, a family of five and try to find a seat for all of them. And so if they don't see open groups of seats, they're not going to feel okay being there. You need to have more room, don't you? Yeah. And when you open up more room, what happens then? It gets kind of scary because it's not in your control, and that's okay. Because that's how He does things. When it's in His control, you're good. Let go of it. It's His. He bought it with His blood. But you need to open up space. How do you do that? I'll tell you something about space. I went to church with Sandy years ago. And it was the first time I'd been to church as an adult. And she dragged me into this little country church, and I didn't know what to expect. All I had been told is that these women knew how to cook, and they were having a dinner after church, and that was bribery. And you can lead me anywhere with my stomach pretty well. And so she took me to this church, and we sat in the back. And you know why I sat in the back? Because I could eyeball that door, and if those crazy people got out of hand, I was going to get out of there. And he'd jump in the pews, I was leaving. So I was scared skinny, man. See? But I've lost that since then. But I really kept an eye on those Jesus freaks. It's an interesting fact, though. If you as a church meet and decide to grow, you can commit to one thing and it'll help big time right off. Commit to, as a regular church member, not sitting in the last three rows of your seats, these two sets. Leave those open. Leave those open for God's special guests that He's going to call and bring in. Let them eyeball that door. They're not going anywhere. They're going to find out who you are. They're going to stick around. But you leave them those chairs. Let them have those. Just a little point to ponder. A decision for you to make. A right way to start things off. You don't have to turn the world upside down right now. But think about where you're going and what you need to do. Fill up this side, fill up the front. Yeah. He'll bring the back. You give people a little bit of room and welcome them into your midst, and they're going to feel pretty good about being there. And what are you going to do when the church service fills up 70 to 80% again? Think outside the box. You can have more than one service. You know, there's a lot of people on night shift like me, and you can have a Saturday night worship service. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. Pretty festive. It's fun. You can do that. Put out the work. Put out the word. God will take care of you. You can do a lot with this building. But this is an amazing group of Christians that is unique. You are unique, and wonderfully so. You are a group that can reach out so many different directions to so many people. You're located perfect. And God's calling on you to do that. Get it with it. He wants you to present Jesus Christ to a world that's full of hurt and hate and death and all the stuff that kills you inside. He's the answer, and you are His people. And He's saying, come on, let's open this up. And things will be scary. And you'll think, hey man, this is crazy. But if God's in it, if He's for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ in Christ Jesus. Love of God in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry I misquoted that. Paul wrote a prayer to the church at Ephesus. And in that prayer, he talked about God. He said, I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the full measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. We can't fathom God. I can't imagine speaking and something forming. I have to do a lot of work to make something work. Somebody asked me one time, I was at work, they said, how do you get so dirty? I said, you don't know, but steel is made out of dirt. And I take it down to that level a lot. I get filthy. God spoke, and things came out of that. How awesome is that? God is. And He is calling on you. I guarantee you that there's a world full of people looking for real meaning in their lives and in their circumstances. And nobody really wants to think that they or their life doesn't really matter. And that is the open door for you to give them a reason. Because nowhere else does their life or their circumstance really matter than right here in God's house. You can be happy, and it's a good thing to be here. You can be miserable and sick and ready to go to the other side, and this is a good place to be. Think of it. There's no other place like that ever, anywhere. It's a fact. It's a unique place. If God is, then I really matter to Him. If God is, you really matter to Him. If God is, there's a whole group out here that don't know, and they really matter to Him. And what are you going to do about it? Because it is up to you. You can stay where you are. You can do absolutely nothing. And you can have the same church every Sunday. Or you can say, we need to open the gates and let God lead the way and watch Him crank it up. And it'll be scary at times. But He has a way of making things happen. If it's out of our control, we know for sure it's in His. God sent me here today to remind you that He is and that He has a specific mission in mind for you as a church. First of all, He wants to be first of all. Remember that. God's number one. First, He is. And then He wants for all of you to pray together and plan together and move together. God's waiting on all of you. And what are you going to do? There's a time in your life to make a decision about God. First, you have to trust Him with your eternity, and that's a big step. But it's not the only step. You have to continue to trust Him with your day-to-day living as His children, and then as His church. Life never stops being complicated, does it? It's time for your decision. And you have to make that. And it's not important that you tell me about it. It's important that you tell him about it. And it's on you. He calls. Are you going to answer? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful to you for this day that you've given us to be together, to worship you, to think about your word and your ways and your will. I thank you, Father, for blessing me with this group, them being so wonderful and welcoming, and I pray that you'll be with them in the days to come, that you'll give them all the strength that you have for them, show them the direction they need to go, help them to be a light in this community in years to come, a big light. In Jesus' name,